Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. Hi, hi. Welcome to the podcast. I'm videoing the podcast. I keep saying I'm going to do this and then I don't do it. And then I say, hey, Roy, I really want to record the podcast on video. So you're my videographer, you're my photographer, you're all these things. Can you set up a little set for me? And so we actually did spend a long chunk of time setting up a camera and a new microphone that I bought and everything. On the couch in the living room, I was like, it'd be so nice to just be sitting with like my Kristen Experience pillow and just have this little chitty chat. Oh no, is my microphone on? Yes, it is. Have this little chitty chat vibe. And so we got it all ready to go. And then I was exhausted or something. And I said, okay, now that we know what it's supposed to look like, now we can do that next time. And then the next time I was ready to do it, we couldn't recreate it. And then I just got pissed. And so we never did it. And then here I am. I'm like, all right, I need to record a podcast. And Roy is gone. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to set it up right here in my office. And I'm just going to do it. Because if I don't actually do this at one point, it's just going to continue to be something that I say I'm going to do and then I don't. And I actually just saw, as I was cruising social media this morning to feel bad about myself before I got out of bed, I saw this woman who I follow. Her name is Cody Sanchez, and she buys failing businesses and makes them amazing. Boring businesses like laundromats and car washes and things. Maybe she's a money launderer. No, I didn't say that. Anyway, she said, if you want to be in the top 10% of humans, do everything that you say that you're going to do. Because 90% of people say they're going to do something and then they don't do it. I'm like, that's totes me. I'm not as bad as I used to be. And I'm not as bad as everyone, but I talk to people all the time about this proverbial mountain that at the base of it, there's all these big boulders that represent the dreams and the goals that we decide that we're going to go after, that we start pushing up the mountain and then we let go. And they just pile up in this graveyard of forgotten dreams and goals. And then here's me like, I'm going to podcast and video it. Something that's actually not hard to do. And then here I am finally doing it like 17 years later. So anyway, that's not why I'm here. Why I'm here is to record an episode that is just real talk. I'm a human being just doing a podcast. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a famous person. I haven't done anything like run a marathon every day like the Iron Cowboy. I'm not Jillian Michaels. I'm not Martha Stewart. I'm Kristen. And I don't do all the things all the time well. And this podcast is something that I get very frozen on. I love this podcast. I love being able to say that I have a podcast. There's 805,000 plays of my podcast episodes. I would really love to know who those people are, because I don't make money on this podcast. I don't get anything out of it except I love saying I have a podcast. And I know that it has helped and reached a lot of people. I know that because a couple, 0.0001% of those 805,000 listeners have reached out to me. That's not unique listeners. That's how many plays. Anyway, but I've tried many different things to kind of make this, make it something I'm really proud of. And last year I decided to do a little mini episode every day, which I really loved doing for a while. And then I wasn't sure if that was really diluting the message or if it was really doing any good. And so I stopped doing that and just worked on putting out an episode every week. And that was great for me to stay disciplined. But then I felt like I was forcing it. And I feel like my quality went down. So I just end up being so stuck. And then I get comments from people saying, I love when you talk about your personal life. And then I get people that say, I love when you shut up about your stupid life and just talk about how I lose weight already. I mentioned this in my last episode. And so then I freeze because I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. And you know what? One of my listeners, one of my, someone who's been in my circle here and in podcast land and with my programs, Michelle Mary Wade. I actually don't know if your name is Mary or Michelle, because you're in my phone and in my emails as Michelle Mary Wade and Mary Michelle Wade and Mary Michelle. I don't know what your actual name is. I'm horrified that I have to admit that. But she just messaged me yesterday on Marco and just said, I think you should do you. I think you should be you. I don't always agree with everything that you say, but I don't always agree with everything everyone says, and you can't let that stop you. So be you. And I was like, you know what, Michelle Mary, Michelle Wade? You are right. I'm going to record a podcast and I'm just going to go off and I'm going to be as me as I can because my heart is pure. My intentions are pure. My goal for everything that I do is as pure as can be. And I know that. There's not an ounce of anything in me except a desire to somehow add light, joy, levity, inspiration, motivation to as many humans out there. And because I know that, I need to just freaking go and I need to speak. So here I am. And if you don't like it, the beautiful thing is that you can just turn it off and go and find someone else that you really, really like. I have cords tickling my legs. What's going on here? Anyway, I'm sitting in my office. My magnificent, terrific, perfect husband, who is all of those things times a billion and also annoying at times, has helped me create a space where I can work, where I can film content, where I can have calls with my groups and my clients, and it's really phenomenal. And just sitting here with the natural light on me and seeing this little background behind me, I'm just delighted that I have this little space. It's a real dream come true. So hopefully I'll just continue doing this. And the whole couch setup, you guys, the couch setup, our couch is hideous. It's because I rented this place furnished, so I can't do anything about that. The couch is very deep, and so when I sit on it, I'm either slouching or I have to sit crisscross applesauce and I look ridiculous. There's a mirror behind it, so it's not great for background. And then Roy, whom I love and who's brilliant, he often rejects the way things are supposed to work and jimmy-rigs them. So, like, I bought this podcasting microphone that has a stand and a little like arm that comes across. And I've seen a lot of people posting on social media clips of them doing podcasts where the big podcasting mic is in front of them. And I think it looks cool. So, I bought this podcasting mic. Well, instead of setting it up the way it's supposed to, he put it on a tripod for a camera and then put a dumbbell in a bag and hung it off of the side of it to keep it up. I don't know why, but it didn't work and it looked terrible. So until we have that figured out, no couch sitting, which I'm sure you're devastated about. But anyway, I'm just going to talk today about what I've been going through. I'm going to talk about my life because I'm interested in my life. And I think that a lot of you who listen can relate to a lot of the things that I'm going to say. And some of this is a little bit of penance because here's the deal, guys. I have sat here in my holy high horse and I have been very, very hard and tough lovey in this podcast. And I am proud of that because somebody needs to. I am not about all of this garbage out there about how we should eat things in moderation and have things in moderation and all this stuff that I just don't believe in it. Do you want some arsenic in moderation? You want to kind of beat your kids? Do you kind of want to abuse your kids? Or do you not want to abuse your kids? Well, how about we not give them cereal then? Okay. Anyway, but there's a lot of things in life I have not been through. And one thing that I have not been through is perimenopause or menopause. And so I've been like, I don't really care what your hormones say, and I don't care how tired you are, you need to do it anyway. And while I still believe that, I am now like, oh, because let me tell you, peeps, my hormones have been a hot fever dream. And I don't know what the hell started it. I don't know what it is. I don't know when it's going to stop. But I have not known who I am. I have felt so weird. I mean, like insane. Like I'm on top of the world. Nothing can hurt me. To like, life is crap. And Grandma Mabel, who is dead and living in the light, just she's got it good. I mean, that's a pretty big extreme. I'm not saying I've ever wanted to hurt myself, but like to go from moment to moment, not knowing if you're going to feel devastated and then alive, it's insane. And it does affect how very much I do not want to go to the gym and how very much I would rather smack around anybody who said, hey, let's go for a walk. What? Why are you talking to me? Go away. And so I have had to feel what a lot of people feel when their hormones are basically laughing at them. Now I am going to go in and get some blood work done. I haven't done it a long time. I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a broken entrepreneur. And so everything is very expensive when you don't have really good medical. And so it's like these things, you just wait for one event and then you'll go in and say, okay, draw all my blood so that I can get all the information, do a mammogram, do a colonoscopy, do everything all in one time. And then can I pay you over the next 6 years? But no, I'm going to go get it checked out. But it's been very confusing because the research that I've done since this started from people that I really trust that deal with women and hormones and nutrition, the things that they say that I should be doing, I'm doing for the most part. There's a lot of things that we can do to support hormone health as we turn these corners into these 40s and 50s and these menopause words that freak me out. And so it's been confusing because I do so many of these things. It's like you should exercise regularly. You should cut sugar. You should start eating fiber-rich foods, increase your protein, decrease. A lot of them really, really prescribe to the effects, the efficacy. I love that word, but I don't know how to say it, of a ketogenic diet, which I mostly skew pretty heavily ketogenic. And so I haven't really done anything differently, and yet I'm feeling very strange. So I'll continue to hone that and look at that, but I will go get it checked out. But all that to say, it's interesting how humbled I have become to be like, okay, it's not that I all of a sudden think that we, when we're tired or feeling hormonal, should stop exercising, but it's given me compassion for like, listen, a 45-minute high intensity workout, that just might sound, that sounds like the last thing that's not even that I want to do, but that's possible. Like right now, today, I don't think I could do a 45-minute high intensity workout without sobbing, with probably passing out. And so when we feel that way, instead of saying, do it anyway, loser, which I have never said, but I've promoted like, you have to do it tired, you have to do it unmotivated, you have to do it when you don't feel it. I believe that. But now I would say, you have to do something unmotivated. And to give yourself grace to change the script, to say, all right, I was supposed to go to this class and it was going to kick my butt. I just can't do it. To say, all right, that's fine, but my body needs to be moved and I'm going to feel better when I move. What can I do instead? What can I do that's going to serve my body's needs for movement, but that I can bear the thought of? And that maybe once I get into it, I'll get some energy to add some intensity, but what is the thing that I can choose that's going to get me into motion? And so that I think is a lesson I needed to learn to be a better me, to be a better coach, and then to also start taking care of myself better because I'm the worst at listening to myself. It's all push it harder, bigger, stronger, faster, more. And I'm getting to the point where I can't do that anymore. And I am a really stubborn learner when it comes to that. I spent so many years on my couch eating myself to death and not doing anything that I just still feel this compulsion. Like I've got to make up for that. That I lost so many years of my life. I have a hard time slowing down because I feel this obligation to repay the old Kristen and say, I've got to redeem what I did to you. Like I think of my body as an entity that's not me. Like I live in this body and I'm constantly apologizing to this body and trying to love on and encourage and do better by my body. So anyway, all that to say, I've learned some empathy and some compassion for just when you don't freaking feel it. So that's the lesson. If you can't do the thing, can you do something? And can you do something that's palatable and hold yourself accountable to continue to honor your body, but hold yourself accountable to honor your body's needs as well? That's the kicker. So I feel like I'm getting a little bit better with this. I did end up getting really sick this past week with some kind of a flu, like really sore throat, my ears hurt, exhausted. So definitely was coming down with something, which has now worked its way through for the most part. But the bad timing of all of this was coupled with a really difficult thing. And I alluded to it on my Instagram, which bad idea because my mother called me. are you okay? You said somebody hurt you. What's going on? Or maybe it was on my last podcast. So vague details do not work when my mother's listening, which is fine. My mommy loves me. So all of this, hormones, not feeling well, missing my family, all happened at a time when all of a sudden, a really good friend of mine basically left my life abruptly. And I can't go into a lot of detail because I don't believe in like outing people or like trashing people and whatever. And I know people listen to this podcast that know this person. And so I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but I want to talk about it because I want to talk about what I've learned about it, because this, we're relate to all humans because I'm human. Very, very good friend of mine. I've spent a ton of time with this person here in Miami. I mean, more than I've spent with most people. I would consider her to be one of my closest friends here. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this person did a few things in a row to exit my world that were weird. And I noticed and I was like, that's strange. Just like leaving group chats, leaving a whole bunch of things that we were in together. And I don't like to be a paranoid person and be like take everything personally. In fact, I typically skew the other way where someone could be mad at me for a really long time and I won't notice. But I'm like, this is very strange. So I reached out and just said, hey, you know, I can't help but think that maybe I did something wrong because of this, this, and this. If there's anything that I've done to upset you, please let me know. I would love the opportunity to make it right. And instead of saying what I hoped, which was, no, 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 you didn't do anything wrong, they responded with basically, yes, and I want space from you. And I was like, whoa. Okay, so I did do something and they don't want to tell me what it is. And so I said, then in that case, I respect you. And I just want to tell you that I would never intentionally do anything to hurt you. I value you and respect you so much. I respect this person and love this person so much. Like top three human on the planet. So to know that I have done something that was so egregious that they don't want to have, not only have anything to do with me, but from my entire circle of friends here. I was devastated. And I just said, please forgive me. I would love to make it right. I just sincerely apologize. And that was responded to with a little heart on the text. And that was it. And so, of course, like any normal person, I spent the next week racking my brain, going over every conversation, every interaction, every single thing, trying to imagine what I could have done or said that could have possibly offended her. And I came up with a few things that I wasn't like proud of. I'm like, you know, that could have come off wrong. And I could see coupled with this, this, and this, and this, that maybe they could have taken offense, but like she's not petty. So those things were all rather petty, I thought, but maybe not. I don't know. I was tortured by it. I was crying most days, most of the day. I could think of very little else. I was sick to my stomach. Plus all this hormone stuff was happening. And finally I was out on a walking meditation and I just kind of threw my hands up and was just kind of praying. Like I can't think about this anymore. I don't know what to do. I can't make it right. I can't know what it is. And I just kind of heard this voice in my head, in my heart that said, it's not knowable. This, you cannot know how many grains of sand are right there on that beach, and you can't know this. They did not tell you, and you cannot know it. So you have to set it down. And then the words of Don Miguel Ruiz from The Four Agreements rang in my head, where he says that injustice is not just somebody getting away with something that they did wrong. Injustice is punishing somebody more than once for something they did do wrong. That's injustice. That phrase set me free from holding a lot of people's feet to the fire for a long time. It taught me what forgiveness is. And in this situation, it was like, listen, you already feel bad because you know you hurt somebody you care about. And you don't have any more ways to make it right. You've done everything that you can. And so justice has been served and you have to move on. And you cannot punish yourself anymore, which is really hard because my worst fear is hurting people and not knowing about it and just walking around like a bull in a china shop being a horrible person. Like that's my worst fear. I want to not do that. I want to have no impact or great impact, but I certainly don't want to be like that. And so, you know, this whole thing, it rocked my world because I was like, who else is having a horrible experience with me? Who else? Because I had no idea what it was, and it's clearly so terrible that they cut me completely out of their life. That means that I have done something so terrible, it's worthy of that, and I'm not being told. So who else am I showing up like this around? Who else feels this way and is not telling me? I don't know. So we talk about shaking my foundation of how I'm showing up. It's made me want to not go anywhere. It's made me want to not talk to anybody. It's made me second guess everything I say and do. When I think about going to boot camp, I'm like, maybe they like me, maybe they don't. Maybe they're all making fun of me. Maybe they all hate me. Maybe they're all gonna ditch. Like, it just shook my foundation. And what do? You go around and ask for, do you like me? Do you like me? Have I made you mad? Like, you can't do that. I did go to one person and just say, I trust you that if there is something horrible I've done that everybody knows and isn't telling me, that you would tell me. And she's like, I haven't heard anything. So as far as I know, you haven't pissed everyone off. And then I had to let it go. But what it did is it made me go deep inside and say, listen, who are you? Who are you, Kristen? Are you a person who goes out with the best of intentions? Yes, I feel like I do. Do you make mistakes that you often don't notice? Yes. Do you fix every mistake? No. There are so many little things I pulled up in my head when I was thinking about my interactions with this person that I realized I wasn't proud of. And while none of them, in my opinion, were worth someone cutting me out of their life forever, there was still behaviors and actions and words said that I'm not proud of. So what is the lesson? Clean up your act, Kristen. Be more authentic. Keep your mouth shut more. Don't offer your opinion all the time. If that's what this person got offended at, well, you do throw your opinion where it maybe isn't welcome. It was like, who are you? Yes, you're well-intended, but do you have work to do? Yes, you do. It is not completely insane to think that you could do something that would piss someone off that bad. Who do you think you are? You're perfect? No, it is completely possible that I did something that terrible. And that this person is completely right to cut me out of their life. It caused me to go back to my foundation and say, when I'm leading boot camp, I'm leading from my heart. So I'm not changing that. When I interact with my friends, I do so with an open and honest heart. I'm not changing that. Now, the things that I did find I'm not proud of, I'm immediately going to change those things. And I'm going to be a better friend. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better communicator. I'm going to check in with my friends more often. I'm going to address this in every way that I know how to improve myself, and I have to let it go. And then the last lesson that came to me, I was starting to get real mad at her. Like, how dare you? Like, you are supposed to trust your friends that if someone pisses you off, you should trust your friends enough to take it when you go to them and say, hey, you hurt my feelings. Like, I was starting to be like, she doesn't trust me. She should have come to me and say, hey, listen, this whatever happened. And trusted me enough to take the criticism and to fix it and to apologize. And she didn't. She chose to cut me out and not give me a chance. And that was making me real mad. And then I was like, no, that is her. I am grateful that she is strong enough to say, listen, I need a boundary between me and Kristen, and I'm gonna take it. And I'm not going to worry about her. I'm gonna take care of me. I'm proud of her for taking care of her. And how I feel about her has not changed. I love her, I respect her, I admire her like I always have. I would only ever speak greatness about her to anyone and everyone. And that is the piece that I needed to finish it off, essentially, in my experience with it, was to not turn and get offended at her because she has done nothing wrong. She has made a choice in her life. And her character, in my experience, has always been impeccable, and it continues to be. And I'm super proud of her for taking care of herself. So that's how that ended. I passed by her on the street. I was kind of almost over it. And then I passed by her on the street when I was going to the grocery store. And she did not look at me. She did not smile. It was scorn. I cried, I don't know, for like 5 hours. It was the worst. I've never experienced that. And so, if you're my friend and I've hurt your feelings, please tell me so that I can fix it. Please don't scorn me on this break. Anyway, so all that to say, It's been a tough one. It's been a learning experience. Is the sky still blue? Is the ocean still red outside my window? Oh, yes, it is. Is my life still amazing? Yes. Is my heart still open and willing and growing? Yes. I'm a little sobered by the experience and a little, I'm very sad, actually. I'm devastated. I mean, I feel like this person has died and I'm not invited to the funeral. It's devastating. I don't know. Maybe part of it, maybe this is something people go through all the time. I just have never had this happen to me. And, I didn't have any friends until I was older because I was raised so sequestered in life. So maybe I'm just dealing with this stuff that everybody else deals with much later, but it's very sad. Roy was really, really tired of the whole thing. He had to listen to me and see me cry and try to pep me up. And when he tries to pep me up, I'm not really pep-eppable. I don't really take it very well. He's like, you have to let it go. I'm like, easy for you to say. Don't tell me not to cry. Poor guy. Anyway. So I'm going to talk about weight and body lifestyle keys in this episode specifically. Why? Because there's going to be New Year's resolution stuff and diets and stuff. And I find that there's more and more and more and more information about nutrition that's like groundbreaking and life-changing. And it's, you know what? There is nothing new under the sun. But what there is there's fortunately a lot more thought leaders out there that are pointing the light at the power of nutrition to heal your body. And that we are not passive in the diseases that pop up in our middle age and at the end of life, that we really can have lifestyles that keep our bodies healthy and moving well and feeling good and looking good. But it's so much of it is so basic and it's not sexy and it's not newfound and it's not a 6 week this and a don't buy the new book. A lot of it is just very basic and I've lost a lot of weight. I used to be over 400 pounds. And my weight has yo-yoed in the past 5 years, like a 20-pound range, more than that during bodybuilding. But the weight that I am today, I have been this weight the majority of my life in the past 5 years. So to be able to kind of wiggle between 10 pounds up and down, up and down, up and down, I do a lot of work to stay in that zone. I feel better. A little bit leaner than I am right now. I definitely don't let myself get much fluffier than I am now, but I work in this little range. And so I have a lot of things that just work to do that. And when I coach clients and I teach people about nutrition, it's the same. It's the same for everybody. There is no hack, there's no tip, there's no trick that makes it a certain different solution for everyone, for anyone versus everyone. And I'm just going to go over those things. Number one, you have to move your body. And I know I talked about, okay, you don't feel like it sometimes. But when I look at all of my clients, when I look at all of my life, when I look at all of my boot campers who've been coming in to boot camp, and every single story of long-term successful weight loss includes consistent movement. Not taking the dog for a walk, 20 minutes a day. Movement. I'm gonna go move my body. And the most popular form of this is walking. The most powerful success stories that I have seen and that I've experienced and that I have led people to has involved these people picking up and maintaining and keeping a walking regimen. The only exception to that are the people who do high intensity workouts and lifting all the time. If you're doing high intensity workouts and lifting a lot, then that's making up for the fact that you're not going for a walk every day. But if you're not going to be strength training 4 to 5 days a week, you're not going to be doing high intensity interval training 3 to 4 days a week, you don't have to. You can walk intensely with purpose and intention with your heart rate up and with sweat flowing every day and not hurt yourself and get fat loss. If you want to get serious about losing fat off your body, get serious about finding time every single day to go for a walk, not a stroll, a walk, an intentional heart rate up walk. Nadina, I'm going to have her on the podcast. She's a boot camper. She joined a year and a half ago. She has lost about 80 pounds. She looks like a completely different person. Yes, she's been coming to boot camp regularly, but in addition, and without fail, she walks. She walks, she keeps her heart rate at a certain level, and now she's doing run walk intervals. She just completed a 10K race that we held with boot camp, and everyone's just staring at her going, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And I say, "That's consistency." My client Kate, who is on the podcast, my client Brenda, who is on the podcast, my friend Carl, he's not been on the podcast. I couldn't get him nailed down. Me, when I want to thin my body down, when I want to get leaner, I get back to my walking routine. So that's not sexy, but luckily there's a whole bunch of new research and new thought leaders that are pushing this again too. Now, I used to be against walking because it was so boring. I remember when I had my plastic surgeries and they said you can't do any exercise except walking. I was like, I remember Amanda's like, "Oh, stop. I'll come walk with you." I'm like, "Okay, I can't stand going for a walk. It's so dumb." So I've been there, okay? I poo-pooed it. Now I love it. I'm so excited. I have a call at 2 o'clock. When that's done, I'm gonna go for a nice long walk. It's my first movement since I've been sick, and I can't wait. Walking is an amazing way to spend time with yourself. It's a way to get all your blood flowing, get your heart rate up. It's amazing. So you wanna change your body. You wanna establish a lifestyle in 2024 that is your lifestyle, which what are you waiting for? The years go by and by and by. Why not grab now and say, "I'm going to start this thing now." And the easiest way to do it is to walk, but you have to do it. You have to get it on your calendar. It has to be a commitment. What I've seen amongst the success stories and with myself too is it doesn't matter if they're traveling, if they're on vacation, if they don't feel amazing, if they're exhausted, it happens. I've seen Nadina say that she gets a 13-hour workday in and then she's at this boardwalk and she gets her walk in. It doesn't matter. Because the number one thing is moving the body and walking. And when you do that, if that's the only thing you chose to do in 2024 was to have a walk 365 days of this upcoming year, intentionally 45 to 60 minutes, getting your heart rate up, you would just be blown away to see what your body looked like 1 year from now today, if that's the only thing you did. It is that powerful, it is that important. But people poo-poo it and say it's not enough. Well, do it and then tell me it's not enough. Don't tell me it's not enough if you're not doing it. I've said this a million times. It's because it's true. So, walking, movement. Now, if you're walking every single day and you're like, "Well, yeah, I still need to lose weight." Okay, you got to up it. Movement is the way that you get your body to burn calories. You put gas in your car. The only way you run out of gas is to drive. So, your body burns calories doing nothing. But if you want to lose fat off your body, get more movement in, increase the duration or increase the intensities of your walks, or increase the duration or intensity of your workout. So if you only have 45 minutes, one of those 45-minute workouts should be an intense workout. Jumping jacks, burpees, jogging, something. Get the heart rate up. My boot camp is wonderfully successful because we do intervals. We get the heart rate up and then down and then up and then down. It's the most effective for fat loss. The most effective for conditioning your body. So, movement. You have to have movement. Nutrition. Nutrition is so complex out there, but you can keep it simple, silly. Protein at every meal. Every time you go to grab food, it should be protein. If it's a meal, it should start with protein. It should end with protein. Every snacks. If you're eating protein, you shouldn't need many snacks. If you do, it should be protein. You say, "It's so hard. I'm at the gas station. What is there?" I don't care that it's hard. And yes, it is hard because the standard American diet is carbohydrate focused. I've said it a billion times. I'll say it again. There is no money to be made for you to be healthy. There is nobody who has invested in the stock market in any kind of product or service that is banking on you being healthy. So look around you. What is available to you quickly? What is put there by companies interested in money? It's not in the interest of your long-term wellness. It's not. And so, if you're going to walk around as a victim of what's in front of you and easiest to grab, you're going to be a victim of what comes next, which is disease and then pharmaceuticals that are being sold to you by the same people that are putting those things in front of you. I'm sorry, I don't make the rules. This is what it is. So, if you want to have a nutritious lifestyle, you go for single source proteins, meat, dairy, eggs, cottage cheese, meat, dairy, eggs. Meat, dairy, eggs, fish. Meat, dairy, eggs, fish. If you're a vegan, I don't know. You should never listen to this podcast because I'll piss you off. I have so many reasons for that, but if you're a vegetarian, it's hard for me to tell you what to eat because in my experience and in all of the education that I have availed myself of, I simply cannot find a way for you to have a long-term amazing health without eating animal proteins. And I'm probably wrong, but anyway, bottom line, protein. If you're eating some kind of replacement protein, beans and rice or whatever it is, that needs to be the highlight of every single meal. The end. That's it. That has to be the way it is. You are not going to be lean and strong if you're giving your body sugar in the form of fruits, grains, rice, pasta, refined carbohydrates. It's just not possible. It's like putting sugar water in the gas tank of your Lamborghini. It's not going to function. So, nutrition, this upcoming year, that would be your number one behavior thing to think, all right, I'm not going to log my food. I'm not going to do all these other things that Kristen tells me to do. But if I do one thing, I'm going to put protein in my body first every time that I eat. You're going to be so much better off. You're going to be fuller. You're going to have more energy. Your muscles are going to have what they need to repair. Your organs are going to have what they need to function well. And your brain is going to have what it needs to function well. So, nutrition, protein first. Then we start thinking about, okay, the quality of our food is really important. So, should I go organic? Should I go grass-fed? Blah, 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 blah. The number one goal is to get the protein in. The number two goal is to make sure the quality of your protein is high. So if you're like, well, I can't eat protein because I can't afford grass-fed beef. Well, then just get the regular beef. Okay? Let's just not grab Doritos because we can't afford grass-fed beef, shall we? So quality of your food is really, really important. Also, the quality of the density of your protein. So if you're saying, okay, I'm gonna have protein, I'm gonna have a handful of almonds. Okay, that's great. There is some protein in your almonds, but take a look at it. Those almonds are mostly fat. There's some protein. Same with peanuts. Peanut butter is mostly fat. People say, I got my protein in. I had toast with peanut butter. Ah! You didn't get protein in. You had carbohydrates with fat, and then there's a little protein in the fat. Like, this is the things, like, that's what society will tell you. These are the examples. You know, you say part of your balanced breakfast, you have a cereal commercial showing a glass of orange juice, sugar, a pile of pancakes, sugar, and then a bowl of cereal, sugar. And they say it's part of a balanced breakfast. What part of that is balanced? No. So, single source, high quality protein, that's your goal. Now, I have a new program that I just launched. It's amazing, if I say so myself. Basically, I took all the conversations that I have with one-on-one coaching clients for weight loss, and I dissected what are the things that we always talk about. We always talk about, okay, movement. How much are you moving? I get them on a movement routine ASAP. Some of them start going from no movement up to I walk 3 days a week. Awesome, because we went from here to here. We went from zero to something. And then over a couple of weeks, we say, all right, that's in your lifestyle. That's awesome. We got to up that movement. Then we get 4 days, then we get 5 days, then we increase intensity and duration. We look at nutrition, protein first. I just want you to track what you're eating and I just want you to think protein first. For breakfast, what are some proteins you like? Come up with what proteins they like. Oh, I like eggs, I like ham, I like cottage cheese, I like Greek yogurt. Awesome. Lunch, protein, what do you like? I don't really know. I usually have pizza. Okay, how about hard-boiled eggs? How about a big salad with ham and turkey and bacon on it? That's some fat, but there's also protein and vegetables. Awesome. Snacks. You don't need snacks if you're eating enough protein. But if you need a snack, what's a protein you can have for a snack? Beef jerky, hard-boiled eggs, string cheese, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese with fruit in it. Those are all protein. Great. Dinner. What do you want for protein? Let's go for a meat pile. Can you make a rotisserie chicken? Grab a rotisserie chicken from the store. Can you make a steak? Can you put some chicken breast in a crock pot? There's so many options for protein, but we're not geared to think that way because the standard American diet, breakfast is cereal or a granola bar. Lunch is pizza or pasta or soup. A snack, popcorn, potato chips. Dinner, pasta, some kind of a hot dish with rice. It's all carb focused. So once we switch to protein, we are on the right track. So all these conversations that I've been having with clients, I made little videos about all of these and put them in an on-demand coaching library so that people can say, hey, I want coaching. Hey, I don't want to spend what it costs to have a one-on-one session every single week. I think I can do this. Here, you log in, You go in there, get started. You learn all of these things. You get guidance on how you set up how many calories a day you need to eat based on where you are, how much protein you should be shooting for based on where you are, how much water you should be drinking, and off you go. Now you have your plan, and then you keep coming back because there I have included videos on mindset, tips, tricks, shopping hacks, self-love, because here's the thing. All of the stuff I just talked about, movement and protein nutrition, that's awesome. I didn't make any of that up. That's all just stuff that is true. I didn't make any of that up. I don't make up the rest of it either, but what I focus on that is not found in diet programs like Noom and Weight Watchers and whatever else is out there is the understanding that all of that is useless garbage if you're not going to do it. And you're not going to do it if you don't believe that you are worth investing your time, your attention, and your energy in. You're not going to do it on the days when you're tired and when it's hard. If you really feel like it doesn't matter, why bother? You're not going to go for the walk if you don't believe that you deserve to feel that sense of accomplishment, if you don't believe you deserve the time it takes, if you don't deserve your own respect and love and care, you're not going to do the things that build more love and respect and care. So the most important ingredient, if you're looking at the next year and you're saying, what do I do about my nutrition, my body, my lifestyle? The number one thing is to ask yourself, do I believe that I'm worth investing in? Do I want more and am I worth fighting for more? Because you have to become obsessive. You have to put yourself above everyone and everything. And a lot of times we say, oh, I can't do that. I have kids. I have obligations. Yes, you do. And they deserve the best version of you. And if you want to make a change to your lifestyle, it starts with you saying, to everything else, me first. Because when I start my day or end my day taking care of these things and earning my self-respect and treating myself like I deserve my own care and attention, then I'm going to show up for my spouse, my kids, my job, my relationships, everything with a sense of peace and calm and confidence. It's switched around. We have this idea, and especially moms, especially wives and caretakers. Oh, I got to take care of all their needs and then I'm so exhausted, I don't have time for me. And we fall into that very easily because there's some kind of a merit that's assigned to being busy. And there's this feeling of like, oh, I can't do it because I'm taking care of everyone else, which a lot of times is actually an excuse. It's actually an excuse. But also, we don't feel like we deserve it. We just feel like everybody else deserves all of our love and time and attention and that we get the bottom of the barrel. And that's great until you're out, until you're so depleted that there's nothing for them. And then you say, listen, I don't care what you want. I'm out. And then you stomp your foot and take it for yourself. And that can look kind of ugly. That can look like complete adrenal fatigue. That can look like I have hit a wall. I don't recognize myself. I don't know myself. Now I'm going to make everybody take a backseat and I'm going to take care of myself. Or unfortunately, it can come with a diagnosis of like, wait, what? My body has failed me. I have type 2 diabetes. I have fill in the blank. Now everything has to stop so that I can take care of my health, because without my health, I have nothing. That's what you want to avoid. I've done a little dance around this whole thing into a big circle. But the bottom line is it's lifestyle. It's forever. And it starts with your relationship with yourself and the belief that you matter. So do you matter? I tell people all the time, it's my favorite thing. You matter. Why? Because I realized the reason that I do what I do is because I want people to feel like they matter. When I was made to feel like I mattered, I had the energy and power to change my whole life. When I do a workout on the beach, when those people come in, the whole point is I want them to feel like they matter to the experience. We cannot do this without you. I always say when the sun comes up, look what you did. I like them to imagine that that sun wouldn't have come up if it wasn't for their energy, for their effort. You matter. You matter so much. Show up for yourself. Show up for yourself every day. Give yourself the time and attention that you need to feel good in your skin, to feel good in your body. It's not about a number on a scale. It's not about a size pants. It's about the confidence just walking into your life to say, I'm taking care of me. I'm taking care of me. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I'm going to end up, but I am on my way. And that feels better than just about anything. It tastes better than peanut butter on toast, that's for dang sure. So to recap, you got to move your body. You got to choose protein first. And the only reason you're going to do those things is because you believe that you matter, that you deserve that investment. And I challenge you. I challenge you to get defiant in your life and demand time from yourself, demand energy from yourself. Even if it's a little bit of movement today and a little bit more tomorrow, that's how you start. But you deserve it. You're going to feel so much better when you do it. So all the hype coming up, all those things that you're going to be seeing, all these quick plans, all these jumpstart things, they're all lovely. I'm sure they all work. But ultimately, you can skip all of that and just say, I'm going to move my body. I'm going to choose protein first. And I'm going to do it for 365 days of the upcoming year and see if I feel different in a year. If you want to jump into the Kristen Experience on demand, it's amazing. And I can say that with confidence because I made it and I put my heart and soul into it and I'm adding to it all the time. So when you're a member of the Kristen Experience, you're going to be getting emails with new content. Here's your new playlist. Here's new motivation. Here's new tips, tricks, ideas. And then the community in this thing is amazing. Kajabi is the platform I use and they've revamped their community feature. So there's challenges and leaderboards. There's a place to connect, make buddies, make friends. My goal is to blow this thing up and have hundreds and hundreds of women in this online portal. I've priced it so that it can be affordable. Coaching with me is an investment. It's like, you know, it's an hour one-on-one with me and I love doing that. And I will never turn down one-on-one clients because we develop a relationship. It's really, really helpful. But if that's something that you are not ready for or something that you don't feel like you need that intense handholding, this is an amazing option. The regular price is $149 a month. And I have a live call once a week with Q&A, with a coaching topic, where you can ask questions, where you can get support and accountability. And so it's the most I've ever offered in one place ever before. And I'm super excited. I'm putting all of my time, energy, and effort into this. Going forward, it's the thing, the final opus, the last opus, I don't know. But I'm excited. It's thekristenexperience.com. Is where you can find it. Take a look at it and jump in and join me in the Kristen Experience on demand. Super excited about it. So that's it. That's everything that's been going on in my life in a big, long 50-minute nutshell. The holidays, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I think tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Probably going to publish this week. So I don't know what day it is you're hearing this, but it's Thanksgiving week. And a year ago, just to show how life changes, a year ago, Roy and I drove across to Fort Myers for Thanksgiving dinner with my sister. She was down with her fiance at the time, now it's her husband, having Thanksgiving dinner with his mom, so my sister's future mother-in-law, and we spent a wonderful day with her. The next day, unfortunately, she took very ill, and she passed away a couple of weeks later. And it was so horrible. And just thinking about that this morning, how quickly life changes, how we just don't know the last time we're going to see someone or have an opportunity. And so I just encourage you to spend this holiday season focusing on what really matters, the people you see, the love between you. We just don't know. It's a morbid thought, but unfortunately it happens more and more as time goes on, especially as we all get older. We just don't know how many more visits we're going to have with our families, how many more conversations we're going to have with our loved ones. So hold them close. Focus on what really matters, which is the love flowing between you and your loved ones and your friends and your family and your life. Life is short. We only get one. So make it count. All right, that's all I have for you today. Thanks for watching. If you've watched this, thanks for listening. If you're one of my loyal listeners, thanks for being here. Would always love to hear from you what content you want on the podcast so that I know what to say and how to say it and give you what you want to hear and see. I guess that's all. I guess now that I'm videoing signing off, it just becomes a different thing. I can do like air kisses and whatnot or not. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, kristen@kristensmithonline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.